And so we continue our series on our church's aspirations, the things that define us as a church. And we are talking today about being a gospel-living church, committed to living out our faith in our daily lives. Well, Paul, writing to the Colossians there in that reading we have just read, summarized it quite well, really, didn't he? If you have been raised with Christ, you should be different. You should be different because of what Christ has done for you and in you and through you. We should be different. I wonder how many of us, though, find ourselves outside of the church just being like everybody else around us. Or inside the church, behaving in an inappropriate way and saying, well, it's just me. Well, Paul in this passage is clearly laying out that actually those who follow Christ should be different in the way they live and act and are. I wonder how we live our faith and what difference our faith makes once we go out of these doors on a Sunday morning. Maybe we feel we've done our Christian bit because we've been to church. And by being at church, we have been able to do our Christian bit. And now we can go out and live as if nothing has happened. Well, that's not what Jesus teaches. Jesus teaches that we should be different in every aspect of our life, in the way we live at home, in the way we live in our workplace, in the way we are. In our attitudes, in the thoughts of our hearts, we should be different. Not just when we're in church, but in the 110 hours a week when we're neither asleep nor at church, that is where our faith should really make us different. We don't live in a Christian culture, however much we want to believe Britain is a Christian country. It's not. We live in a secular society, and unless you work for a Christian company or a church, you probably get reminded every Monday morning when you go into your normal life of the Monday to Saturday, negotiating your faith can be tricky. But just because it's tough, it doesn't mean you should leave your faith at the front door. At the same time, it doesn't mean you have to swing so far in the opposite direction that you're preaching to absolutely everyone in the break room when nobody is really wanting to hear. So the challenge of our faith, the challenge that we face as Christians, is to be authentic in the way we are throughout the whole of our lives. I like playing with words sometimes, and one of those sets of words I like to think about every so often is oxymorons. You know, oxymorons are two words that should never be seen together because it doesn't make sense. An oxymoron could be two words like act naturally. Are you acting or are you being natural? Alone together. Amazingly awful. Bittersweet. These are all words that really should not go together. Deafening silence. A farewell reception. Get your mind round that one. Those who've been to them at the end of term, a farewell reception seems to be two opposites. Growing smaller. I think we should use the word shrinking there. The only choice. Random order. Weirdly normal. Good Baptist. The challenge is, though, are we oxymoronic Christians? Where we say something, but we live something different. We proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord. But actually, we live as rebellious people. Do our lives reflect what we are? Do our lives reflect the teaching and the work of the Holy Spirit in us? Or are we rebellious? Paul, writing to Corinthians, said, "Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand. Set your mind on things above, not earthly things. Put to death, therefore, that whatever belongs to your earthly nature." And then he goes through a list of things to be put to death in our lives. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is it in us that needs to be put to death? What is it in our lifestyle, in our minds, in our thinking that needs to be put to death? And are we willing to put it to death? We're proud people, aren't we? And we all hate to believe that we have ever been wrong. Maybe hearing Chris talk about car accidents. You've had a car accident and you've tried to protest, "It was not my fault." When actually inside you know probably it was. Like the child who comes in from the playground and proclaim it, "It was not me, it was him, miss." And you know it was probably six of one and half a dozen of the other. But we all like to proclaim our innocence. "It was not my fault. It only ever happens to me, but it's not my fault." God says, examine our hearts. Put to death those things that are of earthly nature. Put to death those things that are our responsibility to put to death. Our anger. Have you got an anger problem? Have you? And you blame the other person every time you get angry? "They made me angry." There's a work of the Holy Spirit to be done there. The work of the Holy Spirit. If you look at Galatians 5 and the list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, patience, gentleness, kindness, that is where the Holy Spirit is at work. The anger is something that needs to be put to death. Do you have a problem with your language? And you say something like, "Well, they made me swear." No, they didn't. You chose to. It's time to put that to death. You see, if we're going to be gospel living people, we're going to start to display Christ in our everyday lives. We're going to try and become more and more like Jesus in the way he would treat people and situations. That is what it means to be a disciple, to become more like the teacher, to become more like the rabbi, to become more like our Savior. And therefore, if we're going to become more like him, we need to put the things that are not like him to death. Galatians 5, I mentioned just now, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there are no laws. Paul repeats it to the Colossians in the reading that Glynis read to us. Therefore, verse 12, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Do you notice that says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Are you, could you describe yourself today as a holy person? Have you put to death those things that are earthly? So how do we put this to practice in our everyday living? You see, it doesn't matter what we do throughout the week, whether we're a lawyer, an accountant, a school teacher, a carer, retired, a friend, it's the way we live. Firstly, remember that our everyday lives are part of our worship. In verse 23 of Colossians 3, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord, not human masters. Have you got a boss that irritates you? Maybe you remember when you were working and you had that boss that drove you mad. Maybe you still got such a boss. Well, forget the boss. When working, we work as if working for the Lord. When serving someone, we serve that person as if we are serving the Lord himself. When we're caring for someone, we're caring not for that person, but as if we are caring for the Lord. Change our perspective that whatever we are doing here and now, we're doing it for God and not for the other, we'd probably make a better job of it. We'll probably make a better job of it because our human relationships get out of the way. The person who drove you mad today may not be the person you want to serve tomorrow. But God is the one you want to serve. And therefore you will serve that person who drove you mad because you're serving God. Think about it. Think about your living. Our work, what we do, is not about self-gain. It's about serving the Lord. And as we serve the Lord, it's not about necessarily us wanting to make a profit or climb the corporate ladder, but it's about an act of worship. Romans chapter 12 puts it this way. Offer God, and if you read it in Eugene Peterson's The Message, offer your everyday walking around lives and bring it to God as an act of worship. It's not so evident in this church because I can't see people arriving. But in a church I used to go, there was this fascinating, it was nearly magical driveway. Because the car park was across the road. And if you got out of the car, you could hear the parents shouting at the children or at each other. And couples getting really cross. Come on, we're going to be late. I told you to clean your shoes before you came out. You ever been there? And they'd walk out of the car park and they were nearly stomping. But as they walked up the driveway of the church, they grew closer to closer to each other and held hands. As if nothing had gone wrong so far this morning. And they were deeply in love. As if God's going to care about what they're like more as they climb up that drive than they were in the car or at home. Our worship, what we bring to God, is our lives. And if we want to be gospel-living people, it starts with the putting to death of the things that are not of God in our everyday lives. The thoughts and attitudes that are not of God. The perceptions of ourselves that are not of God. Those tempers, those irritating characteristics that hurt God. It's putting those things to death. And Paul, writing to the Roman church, continues in verse 2 of chapter 12. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ever had one of those conversations with someone where you feel somebody's going the wrong way and you're just trying to help them and talk to them, and they come up with that phrase, "It's no good, my mind's made up." Where do you go with that? But their mind is not one that's being led by God, but being led by pride, by being belligerent, by wanting their way. Friends, as gospel living people, we will see Christ moving when we allow him to transform and renew our minds. That song we sung earlier, "I Surrender, I Surrender. Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all." There's an act of worship in that very phrase. That very phrase that is about, "Yes, Lord, do your work." And it might be that today you need to spend some time in Colossians chapter 3. You need to spend some time in Romans chapter 12 and just say to God, "Okay, God, what needs to be put to death? What needs to die? What needs to live? What do I need to take on? How, Lord, can I be transformed? How can my mind and my understanding be transformed?" Because living as gospel people means that we should be hopeful and optimistic. Because we know the end. We know God's leading. We know God's plan. How many of us turn on the news and get negative? Or read the newspaper and become grumpy? As if that is defining us. All the media clings to fear like a child clings to their mother. But guess what, folks? We know how the story ends. And if we really believe Jesus is coming back, we have a responsibility to be hopeful and optimistic, even in the face of some of the scary world events out there. And as we live as gospel people, we need to allow ourselves to be seen as optimistic, hopeful people by the world around us. If we don't, we look no different from the non-believers. Keep your eyes fixed on the eternal hope, and people will start to take notice. How can you be optimistic at such a time as this? Well, we know the story. We know the Saviour, and our mind is being transformed by a God who says, "I have you in the palm of my hand. You are secure. You are secure." In this passage, there is so much in it that we could just talk about all day. But I sense God's wanting to say to one or two of us, time to surrender. Time to surrender. But the balance of this passage, the balance of Scripture, is one that we need to see in its whole. Because as Paul is writing to the Colossians to put some things to death, he's also talking about the life that comes from God that brings us whole. Death is not the end of us. It gives space for new things from God. Have you ever prayed one of those prayers? Lord, I need a blessing from you. Lord, I want you to take more of my life, more control. Well, it will come when we start to give space. And if we are full of things that are not of God, there is no space for God to come and can take control. We've just come back from a holiday. And I want to tell you something about my wife. My wife has the most amazing skill. She can fill a car with luggage, no matter what size of car we have. We started off married life with a Renault 5, and we would go to college for 3 months at a time in that Renault 5 and pick somebody up at Route and fit all our luggage in. As through our married life we have got bigger cars, she can still fill them. It's incredible. We even had a Ford Galaxy, a 7-seater car that she managed to fill. It's an incredible skill. But for some reason, she always wants to take more. And every so often I have to say, if you want to take that, we're going to have to leave that behind. But we might need that. And the number of times we come back from holiday with things we have never used, but we took them just in case. In our lives, we may be so full of self, so full of baggage, that we've left nowhere for God to move. And God is saying to us, I want you to be gospel people. I want to offer you a life. A life beyond salvation, a life that is full, a life that is rich, a life that is world transforming. I want you to be the people who will bring light to the dark world, hope to the hopeless. I want you to be the people who I can use. But for that to happen, things are going to have to change. Things are going to have to go. If I am going to use you, says God, I'm going to be moving in and there'll be some changes around here. At times it's going to be painful because you're going to have to let go of your security. And maybe your anger and your rage and your power is your security that God's saying let go of. But God promises us, He will not leave us empty. He will fill us. Will you seek to be a gospel living Christian that God can use, not just in church, but throughout the whole of your life? Will you listen to the Holy Spirit this morning as the Holy Spirit comes into your life and the Holy Spirit starts to point at things to die, things to get rid of, that life can take over? Will you serve God with your life, your whole life, that God can richly use you to transform and be bringers of hope? I was going to say more, but I'm going to leave it there. Because I believe God's wanting to just touch one or two lives. Our aspiration, gospel living church, committed to living out our faith in our daily lives. Will you allow Christ to start to work in you? Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself and may Christ take control in new ways today.